Spirit of the Lord come upon my heart, I will sing like David died. Spirit of the Lord come upon my heart, I will dance like David died. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David died. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David died. When the I will pray like David prayed. When the Spirit of the Lord come upon my heart, I will pray like David prayed. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray like David. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing with song. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing like David's song. I will sing, I will sing like David's song. I will pray, I will pray like David prayed. I will like David done. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David done. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, on the everlasting. Secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting rock. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting rock. Great today, leaning on the everlasting God, leaning, leaning safe and secure from all alarm. Hey! secure from all our taking care of you. Just lean on him, brother and sister. Amen. Don't lean upon your understanding like scripture says. Amen. Praise be his name. There is one good song. My sins are gone. Why? Because he paid for you. Because he loved you. You accepted Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You ask me why I'm happy. So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And then I made a scoffer to ask me where they are. I say, my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. His power removed, his darkness is from God. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me,
sins are gone.
my sins are gone.
Amen. 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 Let's never forget our sins are gone. The Bible says, he that lacks these things forgets that he was cleansed from all sin. It's good to remember what you used to be when you were dead in sin and trespasses. Saints, God bless you this evening. To appreciate being back in his house once again. Greetings from the saints in Scotland. I would speak Scottish if I could, but I can't. But they were sending greetings to the saints that are here. And really do appreciate traveling mercies from the Lord. We were traveling down the motorway on Sunday after service going to England. And we were coming with our caravan. We turned off the motorway and we had no brakes. The brakes failed. It was really the grace of God. My, Gitana will tell you, it was a real, real testimony. So we managed to stop and then got on the phone. We phoned the AA and the Lord sent us an angel. This man who came from the AA. He helped us fix our car, get the brakes working a little bit. And then he said, how far do you have to go? We said, we still have more than an hour, about an hour and a half through the mountains. He says, no, you can't go. He was supposed to finish work at 9 o'clock. It was now 10 past 10. He said, no problem. What I'll do, I'll tow your caravan for you to where you're going, and then I'll go home after. Then he took us all when he finished at 12:15, the man. And it was raining heavily. And I said to the man, I said, you're an angel in disguise. He says, no. I said, I just hope one day if I'm in the same situation, somebody will do the same thing for me. And his company phoned him at 10 o'clock the AA and told him. He said to me, they've just phoned me to warn me to say that from 10 o'clock, I'm breaking European law because I'm not allowed to work this long. I said, but hey, how can you do it? He says, no. He says, you don't worry about that. You guys are on holiday. You just look after your children. Me, I'll worry about my work. And he went home. He had to drive an hour and a half from there afterwards. Next morning, he phoned just after 9. He says, I've managed to find you a garage near the place where you're staying where you can get your car fixed. It was just the grace of God, you know. And I really pray for that man that the Lord will bless him. Amen. And I really saw the Lord, he has a provision made. No matter what happens in life when you have the misfortunes, there'll always be the right person at the right time to come and help you. So, and praying just for your journey, we don't realize how important it is. When you ask for traveling mercies, sometimes the Lord sends them angels in disguise, and you do appreciate them. Let's open our Bibles, Matthew 25 this evening. I know a lot of saints are away on holiday. Let's keep the fires burning. Amen. While the saints are away. Matthew 25, let's read the parable of the 10 virgins. I put it on the youth yesterday, just the scripture. Matthew 25, 1 up to 13, let's read it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you can gather in your name. We thank you that you can gather in your house. We thank you for songs of worship. Father, we thank you for praise that comes up unto you. We thank you for grace. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to gather under the blood once again upon this night. And Father, we've come here, Lord, Father, desiring to fellowship with you. Desiring, Lord, that you'd be made known once again in the breaking of bread unto our souls. Bless your people that are here upon this night, I pray. Father, I do pray for them that are away on holidays, them that are here and there. We lift your people up unto thee upon this night. And Father, all your people gathering in like manner, won't you bless them and be with them upon this night? Father, as we read your sacred word, as we think of these sacred things, won't you guide us, Lord, into something that, Father, would be beneficial unto our souls, that as we'd go from this place, Lord, we may better know where we are and who we are. And Father, what is it that you expect of us, Lord? Father, we're committing the service to you. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Since let's be seated. Let's have a look at this thought of the wise and the foolish virgins. You know, it's a real, real important scripture. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially in this season, when you've just come back from the camp, and the brother Max, I know he was on also the same sort of a topic. But let's look at this one here. Because now the prophet says some very interesting things about the wise and the foolish virgins. In the message, the 10 virgins, he says, now watch, both of them were virgins. You know, so you see that these 10 people, and Jesus, they say, if you go and read what the Jews say, they say that 10 was a congregation. In a city, if there are 10 people, then they had a synagogue. So the number 10 is just speaking about the fact that he's looking at one congregation, one group of people. So he's representing the church as that. But he's dividing this group of people into two. There's two classes within the same gathering. And now there's a lot of things where they're the same and just one fundamental difference. It makes all the difference where you find these people are different. These virgins. So the prophet says, watch, they both of them were virgins. He says, let me get this. Let's take these two right here. This is a virgin and this is a virgin. This was a foolish virgin and this was a wise virgin. But both of them were virgins. He says, now if you'll take the name virgin and run it down, it means holy, clean, sanctified. So if we have a look at these two groups of people that Jesus is distinguishing here, we don't find anything different in the way that they live. They're both dressed the same. They're both a holiness people, both sanctified people, living a holy life. You know, these weren't lightweight people, even the foolish virgin. You know, the foolish virgin were living a holy, clean, sanctified life. Now, the only way you can live and be a virgin, can be sanctified, is by the power of the word. Because Jesus says, you are sanctified by the word that I preach unto you. That's what he said to his disciples. So the word, the message had an impact in these people's lives. Now, they weren't those kind of people that just come along and then after church, they go into their shady places and they're doing their things in secret. That's not the category of people that Jesus is speaking of here. He's speaking about people that were living a holy, sanctified life. These were consecrated people. And both of these groups, the wise and the foolish, had a great expectation of the coming of the Lord. They were waiting for the bridegroom. They were living a holy life. They were trying to prepare themselves. They both had an expectation. And if we look in verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So they had sufficient oil. They had sufficient experience inside of them to go forth. They came out. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. No, so they had an expectation. They had a desire. Both of these people had the same desire. They both wanted to meet the bridegroom. And both of them were living at a time when they were living on an expectation that the bridegroom was coming. And both of them were keeping themselves. They were keeping themselves as chaste virgins. Because they wanted to be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. So, no, there's nothing outwardly. If you looked at both of these people, there was nothing maybe just in their conduct, the way they would speak to one another, you know, the way that they would spend their time. You know, they wouldn't go and read things that were wrong and go and speak things that were wrong. Now, if you looked at these people outwardly, both of these classes of people, the prophet says, they were consecrated, they were virgins. And the Lord's commending them for that. So, you know, the prophet says that means holy, clean, sanctified. So the word had done an effect. It had done a work inside of their lives. It had separated them from the world. It had brought them forth. They made a decision. The power of the word brought them to a stage where it brought them forth to meet the bridegroom. You know, so these weren't just Baptist people and Methodist sort of people. It's not that just those people, although those people, the prophet does include them under here as well, the genuine Baptists and so forth. So they had sufficient. And the message, the conflict between God and Satan, the prophet says, you see, we have two classes today. That's professing. He says, listen close. We have two classes that's professing to be the bride of Christ. So both of the wise and foolish virgins, they're saying, we're the bride of Christ. And that's why they were preparing themselves for the bridegroom. That's why they were living this kind of a way. The prophet says, and that's right. And the Bible speaks, there'll be two classes. The wise virgin and the foolish one. There's two classes. So one congregation of virgins, but divided into a class. And the class wasn't by the way they dressed, by the way they did their hair, by the way they spoke. You know, there wasn't by their church attendance. None of those things were the distinguishing factor that Jesus spoke about. Jesus spoke of the difference being one was wise and one was foolish. Amen. So there's got to be something important in that, that Jesus is trying to get to us now. Each and every one of us want to make sure we're the wise virgin. Now, we don't want to be classified as the foolish virgin. We don't want to, you know, live that kind of a life and you keep yourself and you separate yourself from the world. You have an expectation. You allow the word to work inside of your life. And then you get to the end and you find out that you don't have what it takes to go into the wedding feast. No, so Jesus is trying to warn. And if you notice the last verse we read, verse 13, he said, when he summarized it all, he said, watch ye therefore. You know, so he's speaking to us here. And it's not just, whenever he speaks of his coming, the Lord Jesus, he always brings the same thing. He says, watch. He says, watch and pray. You know, those are the things that he always speaks about at his coming. But friends, the closer we get into his coming, the more you see that people are less watchful. It's quite an amazing thing, the way that so many people have just relaxed. And you will see it typed inside of here. Because when the bridegroom tarried, when it seemed his coming was delayed, everybody started to relax after a while. They said, you know, when we first heard this message, we were so diligent. We were so much keeping ourselves in preparation. But now that things have delayed, it seems like there's a tarrying period. The people become less watchful. We've got to be careful of that. So the difference between them, if you look in verse 3, it says, verse 2, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. They that were wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Amen. So that was the difference. They both had lamps, they both had vessels, but the wise ones took oil in their lamps. The foolish ones didn't see the need of doing that. Now, the words now, if you look at the word wise in the Bible, when Jesus is speaking about wise, the word wise speaks about a certain mindset that somebody has for someone to be wise. The idea is somebody who has insight. So when somebody looks at something, if they're wise, remember Jesus speaks about the wise man built his house upon the rock. But the foolish man went and built his house upon the sand. Both of them built, but one was just building for today, but the other one was looking far off. And the word in the Bible for wise always speaks about this. It speaks about somebody that's got foresight. Somebody that looks ahead and says, no. I need to make a preparation now for that which is to come. But a person who's foolish doesn't see the need. They're just living for now. They're not seeing the importance of preparing now for the things that are to come, for the future. And in both of those parables that Jesus gives, the wise man, when he built his house upon the rock, what was he doing? Why was he taking a lot longer? Why was it he was being far more diligent in building his house than the other man? Because he was looking at what was to come. He knew there's going to come storms, there's going to come trials, I've got to make a preparation now. I've got to make sure that I've got a preparation now, that although I don't see the need completely for that foundation now, but I want to make sure that the foundation that I'm laying now prepares me for whatever it is that's to come. And the wise virgin were the same. The wise virgin, they knew he can come anytime. You know, he can come and everybody's getting sleepy and everybody's starting to slumber and they realize, no, we need to make sure now that you're making a provision now for anything that's to come. And they knew that what we've got to do here, we've got to have sufficient oil. Not just sufficient oil for now when everything's going well, but we want to make sure that we've got the oil in the vessel for when the crisis comes. We want to make sure we've got the oil in the vessel for when the unexpected takes place. And that's why they were looking at it in that kind of a way. That's why, you know, to the real, real believer, if you think in the Bible, you think of somebody like Noah. You see, when the message came to Noah and was revealed to Noah, Noah was wise. Because he wasn't just a hearer of the word. When he received that message that the end of all flesh has come, you know, that revelation that he received led him to a diligence. Because he knew, if ever the Lord's going to reveal something to me, if ever the Lord reveals something that's to come, there's always going to be a preparation that needs to be made for that which is to become, to come. And so Noah, now being moved by faith, the Bible says, prepared an ark to the saving of his family. So there was a preparation. There was something in the life that he lived. Maybe other people were living a sanctified, holy kind of a life. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. But there was something in the revelation that Noah received. There was something in the character that he had, the way that now he applied himself with diligence, is he knew it's not enough just to be a hearer of the word. We can't just look at the way that things are now when the word comes to me now and speaks of that which is to come. I've got to use what God has given me now to make a preparation. Because friends, God always has a requirement. God always has a requirement, and he always has a preparation that is required by people. And he'll always give grace, and he'll come and he'll visit and he'll reveal to show you not only what is to come, but to show you the preparation that needs to be made so that when the event comes, you're prepared for that event. That's why he sends John the Baptist. What for? He says, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, so it's this preparation. That's what it is. It's making sure that in the season of grace, in the season when God visits you and he shows you what's to come and he shows you the requirement, he speaks to you of the token, he speaks to you of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaks to us of rapturing faith in these things. We've got to make sure that we're wise. A wise person doesn't just look at today, my studies and all these other things that can encroach and make us not be watchful. But a wise person looks and says, what is the requirement that Jehovah is expecting at this time? What is the requirement to meet up to that which is to come? And then the most important thing to that person as a wise person, you're going to look to see if you've met the requirement. And nothing will be as important to you inside of your life as making sure that Jehovah's requirement has been met. It'll be the most important thing in the life of a wise person. Because a wise person doesn't just look now, but there's something inside of them that says, no, 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 no. This is God's grace to me. God has come and revealed to me what is to come. And God has come and revealed to me the requirement. And God, if he's revealed to me the requirement, he's going to minister everything that's necessary for me to meet the requirement. Just as much as he did to Noah. So Noah now, he knew Jehovah's requirement in that age. It was revealed to him in the heavenly vision. He saw the ark. He knew that this is what is the requirement that needs to be built. So just the receiving of that revelation wasn't enough. That's what the foolish virgin does. She receives the revelation. She believes the revelation. But she never goes and applies the revelation. She never gives diligence to work step by step to do whatever it is that the requirement of Jehovah calls to be done. To meet the qualification, to prepare and make sure the requirements are all in place before the great day comes. Hallelujah. But it was Noah moved by fear. It says by faith, it was revelation to him. By faith, Noah moved by fear. Now he knew this is so real. He knew we can't play around at a time like this. He saw in the vision the great judgments of God. He saw the great thunderstorms, the great deluge that was coming. He saw by vision judgment being visited upon the wicked. And he knew that no, 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 no. God has a provided way here. And he was going to do everything if it meant he had to suffer reproach. If he had to suffer the reproach of the word, it didn't matter to him. If it meant he had to just focus on things that people thought was foolish. Getting up into the forest and cutting down those trees. Sawing them and planing them and putting them into the shape and the position that they were supposed to be. It was foolishness to the world. But Noah was wise in his generation. He was a man that saw the evil coming far off. Look what it says about a wise man in the Bible when it gives the definition in Proverbs. Solomon knew about wisdom. Proverbs 22 verse 3. Look what it says. A wise man is a prudent man. It's the same word. Proverbs 22 verse 3. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So they see the evil. It's revealed to them, but they do nothing about it. But the wise, they see the evil. They foresee it before it comes. They know, I need to hide myself. I need to find a refuge. I need to find a sanctuary and safety before the evil comes. So that's what a wise person is. Now, if you think in the days of Joseph, when Joseph, what did Pharaoh say to him? Genesis 41 verse 38. When this vision was revealed to Joseph, Pharaoh's dreams were revealed by vision. In Genesis 41, 38, it says, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? How did they know the Spirit of God was in this man? Verse 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has shown thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. But it didn't stop there. What did Joseph tell him? He says, you need to choose out a man. It's not enough just to receive this revelation. It's not enough for this just to be unsealed to us, to show us that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there's coming 7 years of famine. You need to choose out a man who's wise, who can now make a preparation, who can now make a preparation to meet the requirement that's going to come. And he said, if God has revealed this to you, there's none as wise as you. You must go and make the preparation. And Joseph became so diligent. He knew there's a requirement we need to meet. There's a judgment that's on the way. He knew time is limited. Our days are numbered. And he went straight out and he went all throughout the land of Egypt. And he started then, having made an assessment, he started to build the big granaries, the big barns that were going to store up against the evil day. And then he started adding diligence to his revelation. And it met the requirement. And it brought a great salvation. So you can see that is a wise man. Somebody who's wise and discreet. Is they look at the revelation of grace that's been given to them. And they say, Lord, what is your requirement? What do you require of us to meet up to this which you've revealed? And friends, there's so much that's been revealed to us. There's so much. We see what's coming upon this age. I just posted it yesterday about the believers in Russia. The believers had been speaking about it in these months gone by. That Putin has passed that law. That from the 20th of July, you are not allowed in Russia to evangelize outside of your church. You can't even invite someone to your house to testify to them. You've broken the law. You're not allowed to go out on the street and testify to people. The believers are not able to put their messages live on the internet anymore. See how suddenly it can come. And what did the prophet say of us? He says, the time is coming. They're going to put closed on that door. And you're going to have to worship in other places. You know, a wise person, they see the evil coming. And they say, let's make full use of the time that we've been given now. It's so easy to be foolish, friends. It's so easy to hear those things and to read these things and to read the scriptures. And then we get so busy with the affairs of this life. And that's why Jesus warned in verse 13. He said, watch therefore, for you know not the hour when the Son of Man cometh. He said, watch, be vigilant, be attentive. You know, the prophet, I think it must have been Brother Howard, said it there at the camp when he said, you know, the prophet says, I don't mind if my jacket doesn't match my trousers. He says, as long as my experience matches God's word. And to a believer, every single one of us, if like Noah it's been revealed to us, like Joseph it's been revealed to us, what will be the thing that will be burning inside of your soul? You'll be comparing your experience with the requirement of the word. You want to make sure, like the wise virgin, before the time comes, that you have what it takes in your vessel to face up to that which is to come. But to the foolish, they were moved to a certain extent. They were moved enough to dress well. They were moved enough to live a sanctified life. But they weren't moved enough to make provision to go and pay the price. To go to them that sell the oil and go and buy. They weren't moved enough to make that sacrifice. To pay that price. And friends, what a foolish thing it was that they did. What a foolish thing that it was. What could be more important to a believer other than your experience that you know that the token has been applied? What could be more important to a believer? That's how Brother Lubanza preached about it at the camp, about Jacob. Esau was a far better man outwardly. He loved his father, went and did all the things for his father. Jacob outwardly, yes, he had his crooked ways. But he had just one desire. That was the birthright. Amen. If I can just get the birthright. And surely, friends, that's got to be something that every believer goes through at least once inside of their life. At least once as a believer, you've got to be prepared to lay aside everything else. To say there's a requirement in this age. God's word lays out the requirement. Have I met that requirement in my experience? And if I haven't, I need to be wise. I need to be diligent. I need to apply this word. I need to follow this through. Because friends, God is so gracious. He'll never reveal something to you without intending to give it to you. But you've got to go His provided way. Now, He's waiting just like He did with Noah. So that's being diligent. What about in the days of the first Exodus? The prophet speaks about it so much in the token. What about in the first Exodus? Think of what happened then. The first thing was, there was a revelation. God came and revealed to His prophet that the end has come. And the prophet says, the first thing when God prepared His people is He sent His prophet. He says, and the second thing, God vindicated that prophet with a pillar of fire.
Amen.
He says, and then the third thing, God gave the token. The token. So the first part of it all was accepting and understanding and catching the revelation that God sent a prophet and seeing the vindication in that age. But that wasn't enough. Then the second thing he says, the third thing the prophet says was, the prophet came and preached the token to them. He told them, the Lord has spoken to me. There's coming a judgment. There's going to be a death angel. Death is going to pass through the land. You've got to take a lamb. You've got to store him up 14 days. You've got to take the blood of the lamb, each house. You've got to apply the blood upon the door. And you've got to stay under the blood. That was the requirement. And the prophet says, you see, there was an applying time and then there was a displaying time. There was a time when you could apply the blood. But that time was a limited time. There was only so much time that Jehovah, in His grace, in His revelation, had given to each person to meet the requirement. Every person had to be personally identified in the death of the Lamb. Each person had to apply, take that blood and apply the blood. And then enter it. And then the season changed. It changed now from the season of applying the token. And now came to the season of displaying the token.
Amen. Yes,
sir. And during the time of displaying the token, there was no more opportunity to apply it.
Amen.
Once a death angel was passing through, once those great dark wings, like the prophet says, overshadowed and came down at midnight, there was now no opportunity. But God had given everything that He could. God had done everything that He could. He had revealed His grace. He had revealed His will. He had revealed His provided way. And now the prophet told the people, there's one thing required. Apply the token. Is apply the token. And that's why the prophet says that token message, he said, outside of the regular commission, preaching the seals and so forth. He says that was the capstone. He says, out of all the messages I ever preached, that one had the most inspiration. He said, if only I could explain to you the years that things built up to that message. So outside of the revelation messages, that was the capstone of the messages. And like we've always said, he preaches the token in the morning, then he preaches desperation in the evening. And he shows the requirement now. He shows the blood's got to be applied. But there's got to be a desperation. There's got to be a diligence. If you in that age were looking at the requirement of Jehovah, and you looked on your house, maybe you were the son of the house, and you saw there was no blood on the door yet, and the time was drawing to a close, you would have gone to your father and says, Daddy, we haven't yet met the requirement, because what we've applied doesn't match Jehovah's requirement. What we have on display isn't the same as what Jehovah says needs to be on display. And anybody that was wise in that time would have laid aside anything else. Nothing could have been as important as that. And friends, it wasn't difficult. It wasn't complicated. God never makes redemption complicated. But it just needed single-heartedness. That's what it needed. It needed a diligence to do something God's provided way. And you only had to do it once. It only had to be done once. And then you could enter in, and then you could sit back, and the prophet says, now you could let off the pressure. Because the blood was on display. And friends, to the believer now, we know the requirement. And it should really be a searching time. When you see what's happened there again in France, you just see the way the world is falling apart. In Russia, the way they brought that law in, which has caught the believers, they said they brought it in the guise of a law against terrorism. They said these Islamists, these jihadists, they are indoctrinating people through the internet. Yeah? They're indoctrinating people in homes and, you know, making proselytes unto this religion of theirs. So we're making it illegal. You can't proselyte anymore. You can just preach in your synagogue, but you can't do it outside of there. And by doing that, I remember one brother told me that years back. He said, watch, bro. He said, the scripture says that Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. He wasn't a transgressor, but he got numbered with the transgressors. So we will be numbered with the transgressors as well. Amen. Although our preaching is of love, our preaching is of grace, trying to bring people to grace. But the time's coming, like the prophet says, you won't be able to meet like this. Amen. And that's why when I put that scripture on the youth, when Jesus said, night cometh, when no man can work, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. Because night cometh when no man can work. And now those believers in Russia, they've come to that stage and say, but hey, night is coming, now we can't work. Now everything going to have to, it's going to have to be underground. And friends, I really do think it's something to really think about. Remember in Donetsk and Ukraine, how quickly it changed. You know, they, at one stage, everything was so wonderful, and then there came a civil war. And then no one could even go to church. People had to go in their basements. People, the one that elder from the church died. And things fell apart. It can change so quickly, saints. Amen. But God is gracious. Amen. He always sends warning before judgment. Amen. He always does. If you go and look at the great revivals of the past, you look at the Welsh Revival. The Welsh Revival, 1905, and then Azusa Street, 1906. It was the sealing angel going forth first. It was God's cry going forth. He said to the winds in those days, he says, hold back the winds. Hold back until we've sealed the elect in this generation. And then grace went to Wales and it spilled out to Northern Ireland. And then in Azusa Street, the saints, they caught the revelation. And God came and he sealed them in. And shortly after that, what happened? It was World War I. The Great War. And that whole generation of young men perished in the war. Amen. But God was gracious. He sent grace first. He sent a call out first to say, apply the blood. Apply the blood. Amen. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He applies. He makes sure that, no, I must make sure at this time I've met Jehovah's requirement. That Jehovah's requirement is on display. And that's all that's like it, friends. The prophet preaches about it. He says, you go back to the days of Luther. What struck straight after Luther's revival was the Great Plague. It wiped out sometimes 50-60% of people in a town throughout Europe. Remember, it was spread by the fleas on the rats. And nobody knew the plague, where it was coming from. But God first sent grace to the people. He first sent out, and his voice went out, and he showed his requirement for that age. That age was just, the just shall live by faith. That's what it was. And anybody that was wise took that message and applied it and got a witness and an assurance in the experience to say, I've applied the blood. I've done what Jehovah requires of me. And then there came a time now where you couldn't apply it anymore. There was time now it needed to be displayed when the death angel passed through the land. It's always like that. There's always, God always sends warning before judgment. The prophet preaches that. But one day, the voice of warning goes silent. And with these foolish virgin, that's what happened to them. Listen what the prophet says about the foolish virgin. In verse 5 it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. People started to relax. Why? Because at first the revelation was so powerful. I remember when I first received the message, I went and I woke the brother up in the middle of the night in our hostel who testified to me and said, Brother Clint, I'm not right with God. You know, I'm trusting in my speaking in tongues. I'm trusting in my Pentecostal faith. But I know that I'm not right. I'm not ready for, if the rapture had to come. I said, please, please, I want to be baptized. No, you know what you are like as well when you first received the faith. You couldn't wait. You didn't want to wait till the end of the month. You wanted to be baptized then. You wanted to meet Jehovah's requirement. That was the first requirement you knew that needed to be met, was baptism. And I, myself and my friend were baptized that same Saturday in the town dam. And then still in your own experience, you knew, I knew that I'm not yet ready. I need to meet him in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I need to meet him. And friends, that's when you need to fast. That's when you pray. That's when you seek. That's when you pray through, like the prophet says. That's when you go to him that has, to them that sell the oil. And you're willing to pay the price. Because the revelation is fresh and it's real. But friends, you've got to be careful, because after a while, when the bridegroom tarries, and we're still here 30 years later, if you're not careful, you lose your diligence. You know, Brother Wilmer said something interesting at the camp the other day when he says he read something, or I don't know where you got it from, bro. But they said, where's the most powerful, most effective place to backslide? He's holding a spiritual office. And I said, that's very, very interesting, because you can continue doing the form of things. Now, you can be so busy doing this and that, but you lose the essence of what you once had. You lose the something inside. You lose the burning in the lamp that you once had. Our friends, you don't want it to be like that. That's why Jesus said, watch ye therefore. Watch. Be attentive. Be careful. Don't slumber. Make sure you've met the requirement. The prophet says in the message, End Time Seed Sign, he says, Jesus said, just before the coming of the bridegroom, there would be a wise virgin with oil in her lamp and one unwise. And the unwise virgin would wake up one day and find out she didn't have any oil in her lamp. You see, it's the time of crisis that reveals it to you. That's why God is so gracious. Before the great test comes, he'll always give you smaller tests to show where you are. Amen. Now, if your faith is all intellectual, the Lord will allow sickness to strike. He'll allow some crisis in your life to show you. Amen. That if you're trusting, like the Bible says, the Lord said to Jeremiah, says, my people are trusting in a refuge of lies. Not the people that made a refuge. He says the people are saying peace, peace, when there's no peace. He says, why then is the daughter of my people not healed? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? You know, the people were trusting in something that wasn't going to stand. And God in his grace, if you're doing that, he comes and he brings something across your path. And so much of that faith that you thought you had, you find out, hey, a lot of this was intellectual. And he shakes you at that kind of a time to show you, look, my son, my daughter, don't trust in that. Come to me for the real thing. The prophet says, why seek for an impersonation, a counterfeit, when the Pentecostal skies are full of the genuine? But the Lord allows the little crisis to come. He comes and shakes you in some kind of a way to show you the real state of where you are. And sometimes at that time, you're like the foolish virgin. You wake up and say, hey, let me light my lamp. And then you find it starts, they trim the lamps, it says, and they tried to light them, and it started to splutter and flicker. And then they looked inside and said, hey, we don't have the requirement. We don't have what's needed to face this situation. Oh, it's God's grace when he does that. Because once you've been through that once, you're going to be very diligent to say, I'm going to go and buy oil. Next time, I'm not going to get caught out. Now, the Lord will allow you to go through that. It says in verse 7, it says, and all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. It literally means they're going out. When they lit them, they just would burn just a little bit, but then they found out, but oh, we don't have oil. And we know the oil type's the Holy Ghost. That's the token. Our lamps are gone. And listen to what the prophet says. He says, this is in the message, speak to the rock. He says, therefore, we have a spiritual death in the churches. Now, the reason I put these quotes, to see what's happened in the message, friends, in many places. Those sisters who came from Florida, their church, because of the shaking in the message, went down from 500 to 100. And those were virgins. Those were people living a sanctified life. Those were people that were trusting at some stage that they had what it took. And then there came a shaking. And then people came and challenged the message. And then people at that time when they needed something to kick in at that time, when they needed to light the lamp and there'd be oil inside of it to shine the light that they needed to take them through that situation, so many of them, they fell away. Ah, friends, to me it was sobering when I heard that. Yeah, it was really sobering. And the prophet says, therefore we have spiritual death in the churches. That's the last sign before the hour of deliverance. Spiritual death. The hour that we're now living, when the church world has become plagued and dying of spiritual death. Oh, when spiritual death strikes, when there's an atmosphere around, and you rise up, and maybe you've been slumbering, because the wise virgin, she slumbered and slept as well. But then she realized, but yay, what am I doing? And she took a little sharp instrument, and she trimmed her wick. Then she lit. Whoa, here came the flame once again. And the flame was back to the way that it used to be. But the foolish virgin, imagine being like that. Imagine at that time realizing, but hey, I don't have the oil. But still they didn't realize the seriousness of the situation they were in. They didn't. The prophet says in God's provided way, he says, listen, here's something striking. Watch. Plague after plague after plague. It was in Egypt. But the last plague that fell was death just before the deliverance. Can you see the spiritual death strikes just before the deliverance? And that's when the virgins wake up and say, let's trim our lamps. Let's get the oil. Let's make sure we're ready to go into the bridegroom. And out of the 10, 5 of them didn't have the oil. They had sufficient oil before to get them to where they had been. But they weren't wise. They didn't foresee what was to come. They weren't diligent to get sufficient oil in the vessel to keep them in the evil day, to meet the requirement of the day that was to come. And the wise said to them in verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. What are they saying? Go and follow the same process that we followed. You need to do exactly what we did. But you know the problem why they were foolish? They left it too late. They left it too late. At a time when the token needed to be displayed, they went to try to seek the token so they could apply it. But the applying time had passed and the displaying time had come. Amen. And they went. It wasn't wisdom, friends. Ask yourself this question. This was one congregation, 10 believers, 10 virgins. When the five wise were going and paying the price to get the oil, what were the five foolish doing? They both had exactly the same amount of time. Both had exactly the same opportunity. What were they doing with their time? They obviously had other things which they thought were more important than going to buy the oil. But the wise, now they knew there's nothing as important as getting the oil. So they made sure the oil was there. Then they said, okay, now we can sleep. But the foolish, they said, everything's okay. Our vessels are still burning. We still love to sing to the Lord. We still love to praise the Lord. The Lord's still watching over us. But in that time when they should have been going to pay the price to get the oil, it's like when Brother Howard was saying it, we've said it many times before, the other 380 that weren't in the upper room. Why? It was time to pay the price. 10 days. Yeah? Praying up, reconciling, getting ready to receive the blessing. Then the oil came and filled their vessels. Jesus told 500 of them to go. Where were the other 380? They had other things that were more important. Maybe one had to go, he just bought a field. Another went and bought an ox. Another one married a wife, like Jesus said. Our friends, that's why I like what Brother Howard said. He says, you young people, especially before you get married, that's the ideal time. When you don't have other things, Paul said that he who's married cares for the world, how he may please his wife. But he that is single cares for the Lord. Amen. You know, while you're single, while you have the opportunity to go and buy that oil, and friends, the oil is without money, without price. Christ has paid the price. The only price that he wants is a full surrender. Is just to lay yourself completely upon that altar. Just be willing to say, Lord, I want you to have the complete preeminence inside of my life. And to seek him until you find him. The prophet says concerning the scripture, he says, the wise virgin told them, you need to go and pray through the same way that we prayed through. But there was a season of praying through and then there was a season of applying the prayer. But unfortunately, the foolish now, they went to pray through, it was too late. There was no more opportunity to do that. Just showing how when they came to the wise says, we can't help you. It becomes so individual at the end. The prophet says the third pool, it's a very individual affair. It's not a public display. It's so individual. You can have a group of people sitting here, Sister Hattie, yeah? The oil was in her. The prophet says she wasn't her. She spoke from her heart. She said, that's nothing but the truth. And then that super anointing came down. It didn't help the rest of the people. It was for Sister Hattie. It becomes so personal at the end that you will go and say, please, I need this. And then people will say to you and then say, look, now the time for applying the token's gone. We just have for ourselves. It's individual now. You need to go and get it yourself. And that's why Jesus said at that time, there'll be two in a bed. One will be taken and one will be left. That's how individual it becomes. There'll be two in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Ah, that's when it comes to the displaying time. Very, very individual time. Says it in verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready. So what is being wise? Is being ready. is making preparation until you know that you're ready. That's what a wise person does. You want to meet the spiritual requirement of your age. You want to make sure that you know. The prophet says, don't trust in speaking in tongues. Don't trust that you danced in the spirit. We did all those things, friends, in Pentecost. It was powerful. He says, but make sure, he says, that token in you, it'll line up with every word. Amen. It'll line up with every word. And it says, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut, as it was in the days of Noah. The prophet says, I'll read you the question. Somebody asked him a question about this. Questions and Answers, 1957. Questions on Hebrews. He says, when the bridegroom came, five of the virgins went out to meet the Lord. They didn't take any oil in their lamp. The other five took oil in their lamp. Notice, it's a beautiful picture. Three classes of people all the time. He says, the Jew, the Gentile, he says, the foolish virgin, and the bride. He takes it back to that. Three classes of people. He says, you've got to keep them three people together. The Jew first. That blinded person waiting on the sideline. You've got the next step up, which is the sleeping virgin. He says, she was dilatory. And just went out and went to church and joined the church, a pretty good fellow. Then you get the church spiritual, the rapture, the bride. There she stands. So the prophet's giving us a term. He's giving us one condition of the foolish virgin. Says she was dilatory. Does anybody know what dilatory means? I'm sure people have looked it up the same way that I did. If I can just find the definition here. To be dilatory means to procrastinate. To procrastinate, to put off to tomorrow what needs to be done today. When she should have been making sure, the foolish virgin, that there was sufficient oil, she put it off to another time. She said, there's other things that I need to do now. Now I'll worry about that down the way. And the prophet says she was dilatory. It also means, if I can find the definition, excuse me one second here. I went to look it up. Yes, the prophet says in spoken word is original seed. He says, now the unwise virgin is a woman. She's a church, but she's unwise. She has just been dilatory. Yet she's called herself the bride. Dilatory means given to procrastination. Not proceeding with diligence. So you receive the word. The Lord comes and shows you his requirement, shows you his provided way. And you don't give diligence. You just say, I believe it. One brother came to me after the camp. He's not one of the youth, a very nice brother. We had him in our house. And he said, brother, I don't quite understand this. I said, why? Because he was taught it from somewhere else. And friends, it's a teaching in many places in the message. He said, I thought to receive the Holy Ghost was just to receive the word. I said, brother, yay. That's not the case. Receiving the word will lead you to receiving the Holy Ghost, because the prophet says full obedience to the word entitles you to the token. But it's not just receiving the word. In the days of the first Exodus, they received the word from Moses. Then they had to go and pay the price. They had to go and get the lamb. They had to lay up the lamb. They had to sacrifice the lamb. The price had to be paid. The blood had to be shed. They had to take the hyssop, the simple faith, dip it in and apply it on the house. To receive the word means to apply the word. Means to be a doer of the word. And the prophet says, God gives the Holy Ghost, Peter said, to them that obey him. And the prophet says, the Holy Ghost is God testifying that he's received your faith. Amen. It's heaven now, it's the fire. Like Brother Lubanza showed us that at the camp. Elijah's altar. That you do what God tells you to do. And you lay the wood, the cross. You put the sacrifice there. You pour the water, you go under the waters of baptism, all the things that you are shown. Then it becomes God's turn now. And then God sent a witness from heaven to show he had accepted what had been done. And the prophet says, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, God hasn't yet fully accepted your faith. But how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And like he said to Junior Jackson that time when he preached 1959, the Holy Ghost series, and Brother Junior Jackson came and said, Brother, how am I going to receive the Holy Ghost? Brother Abraham said, take the message sixth sense and listen to it over and over again. I'm not saying it works for everybody. That was the counsel he gave to Brother Junior Jackson. Brother Junior Jackson said, I listened to that message over and over again, and some faith started to build up inside of me, started to build. He says, and then I used to walk and pray out in the woods near my house. He says, and the prophet came to see him, and he said, Brother Junior, I see you walking in the woods. I see the Holy Ghost is all over you, anointing you. Just open up and let him in. And then a few weeks later, you read in the message, Brother says, I'm really glad to hear Junior Jackson received the Holy Ghost. But he had to appropriate the faith. No, he had to keep walking until, you know, getting purified, sanctified by the word, getting to a certain stage of yieldedness, a certain stage of submission and letting him come in. I thought Brother Howard really was a masterpiece how he explained that. That it's not beating the table, it's not beating the desk, trying to force something out of God. God is more than willing, but it's a yielding. Taking God at his word and accepting his promise. But like the days of Cornelius, when the Holy Ghost fell, what does it say? When the angel came to Peter, he says, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. So he had prayed and he had made his offering and it became pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord looked down and says, it's my turn now. He said, I've accepted this. Go and call for a man by the name of Peter. He will show you what to do. Peter came, and the prophet says, because he had the keys to the kingdom, he had to come and open the door. And as Peter preached the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Amen. But they'd already paid the price. There'd already been a preparation. There was already a sacrifice that was laying there, just a yieldedness, just a lamb, and the dove could come down on the lamb. And that was how the price was paid. But it wasn't sufficient just to hear the message. It wasn't sufficient just to believe the message. Listen how the prophet says it in the token as we come to a close. The prophet says, notice God's preparation for that time. Paragraph 188. The first time when he got his preparation, he sent a prophet with a message. That's God's grace. You know, why did he do that? Why does God send a prophet with a message? I'll explain it before we finish there. Just a part of a quote here when the prophet speaks about it. He speaks about Revelation 7, the angels holding the winds. He says, Revelation 7, he says, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. The prophet says, now this parallels Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel 9, when the destroying angel was about to go forth, then the Lord said, wait. And one angel with an inkhorn, dressed in white, the sealing angel, the Lord told him, you go first through the city and find them that are sighing and groaning for the abominations that are done in the city and set a mark on them. And he went through and he marked all of them. Then he came back, they marked. Then he released. Now the judgment angel says, start in my house. Judgment begins in the house of God. And the destroying angels went and slew all young women, children, anybody that didn't have the mark. And the prophet says that happened in the days of the apostles. He says first the sealing angel went forth, the Holy Ghost fell. He says, and then came Titus, now the destroying angel, and went through, and the streets of Jerusalem ran as rivers of blood. But there wasn't one of the disciples caught there. Because they foresaw the evil that was coming, and they hid themselves, and they followed God's provided way. So the prophet says Revelation 7, which speaks about 1918, November the 11th, at 11 o'clock in the day, when the war mysteriously stopped. The prophet says that types Ezekiel 9. So it's the same thing. He says, listen, this parallels Ezekiel 9, where he saw the destruction of the Jews in Ezekiel. Here he sees Revelation 7, the destruction of the Gentiles. But it's God's grace. God will never send that destruction until first he sends a sealing angel. Until he first he sends people and shows them how to apply the blood. The prophet says, Revelation 7, the winds should not blow upon the earth. He says, oh, if we had time to go into detail on this question. That happened. Russell and them, the Jehovah's Witnesses, prophesied seeing this as his coming. They thought 1918 was his coming. The prophet says, no, not knowing it was the sealing away of the church. So from 1918, when the war was stopped, it became the time God wanted to seal his church now. And right from there, we're coming up now. You're 2016, 98 years. God's grace. The prophet says, immediately after that, the water baptism in Jesus' name was revealed and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the church exactly immediately after that. The fullness of it came in. It's God's grace, friends. We're living in a time of grace, but grace is so rapidly coming to an end. You know, you just wish sometimes you could really impress it in the souls of people, those that are delaying to really make a full commitment, that Jesus gives us example of the foolish virgin. And the prophet says she was dilatory. She was given to procrastination. Dilatory means making delay. Being slow, being late. A man is dilatory when he delays attendance or performance of business beyond the proper time. That's it, to be dilatory. To delay something beyond the proper time. That's what the Bible says. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And we know the quotes where the prophet says, Jesus, when he was praying, it says, the presence of God, the power of God was present to heal. The prophet says, it shows many times the power of God wasn't present to heal. It says, like the angel coming down upon the waters, the power of God was there. You didn't need to be dilatory. You didn't need to delay. When it was there, when it was the season of the troubling of the waters, you needed to step into the waters to receive the benefits of that. So the prophet speaks about that. Then in the token in closing, he says, the first time he sent a prophet, why? To show God's provided way. To show God's way for the people to be sealed. This is the next thing he did to identify the prophet. He sent the pillar of fire. And the third thing he sent was the token, the assurance. Then he skips, he says, apply it, church. See, it was the time for applying. Now don't fail. He says, will you now? Don't let the sun set. Don't rest day or night. Don't take no chance. It won't work, children. It won't work. You must have the token. Because the people were saying, we believe the prophet. We've accepted the prophet and accepted the message. The prophet says, that's good, but you've got to apply the token. He says, Moses, we preach it many times. Moses came, God dealt with Moses first. Then it shifted from Moses to the people. And Moses came and says, God has spoken to me. My job's done now. Now you need to apply the token. And they had to take that message and go and apply it. And then they could rest. The assurance. The prophet says, you must have the token. He says, do you hear, Branham Tabernacle? You must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. It's like the foolish virgin. Without it, all of the believing was vain. They never went into the marriage feast. Says, you see, you will live a good life. You're a virgin. You will listen to what the word says. The word had an effect. You go to church. You try to live right. That's fine. But that's not it. I don't know where in the message realms people get it from. They're just to believe the message is enough. Brother Howard was telling me he went and he preached a series on the Holy Ghost in a certain place, and a certain sister, a young girl, got under such a conviction. And she went back to her church, and her pastor saw her so much under conviction and called her aside and said, "What's wrong, sister?" I said, "I'm seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost." And he says, "Don't worry about that. Just go and sit in church. You believe the message. That's all that you need to do." Friends, that is false, because that's not scriptural. That's not the way it was in the first Exodus. That's not the way it was in the second Exodus. That's not the way it'll be in the third Exodus. You've got to receive the message, and then you've got to apply the token. And it's got to be personally on display. And that's how the prophet says, you live a good life. You see what the word says. You go to church. That's not it. When I see the blood, that's the token. That's the only thing that'll stand. And that's why now when we see the spiritual death striking the lands. Oh, friends. When we see judgment at the door. Yeah. We see the world falling apart the way that it is. We've never seen it like this before. We used to speak of these things knowing they would come, but now they're upon us. How much more time? We don't know. But friends, I wouldn't take any chance. Your soul is too precious. The prophet says, I'm talking about the applied token. The applied token. It's not enough just to believe in the token. He says, I'm talking about the applied token. Make sure that the token is applied. Let's finish the parable. It says in verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I know people say, I don't want to be a fanatic. Like we said at the camp, we don't want fanaticism. Now, you don't want to make work yourself. You don't want that. But you want a desperation. You want a diligence. The prophet says they were told, go to the upper room and stay there until. There was a certain until, stay there until, just keep staying there until. The hour's late. Jesus has given us a real, real parable there. And the prophet, you could go take so many things. He spoke hundreds of quotes about this. But every single time it's the same. The prophet speaks of the foolish virgin not being somebody that's an unbeliever, but just being somebody who never prepared themselves right. And the wise virgin, they saw the evil that was to come, and they prepared themselves. Let's stand, saints. Let's just sing that song once again. What would you give in exchange for your soul? In fact, you know the song, bro. I want to be ready, yeah? To walk in Jerusalem just like John. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Do you know that one, bro? George sings? No, it doesn't matter. Sing the other one. It's okay, bro. It's fine. Let's sing.
Brother, if far from the Savior today, risking your soul for the things that he came. Oh, if today God should call it away, what would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you give? What would you give? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, if today God should call it away, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Mercy is calling your one you gave it. Must the dear Savior still tenderly plead? Risk not your soul. Precious indeed, what would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you give? What would you give? What would you would call it a way. What would you give in exchange for your soul? More than the silver and gold of the earth, more than all jewels thy spirit is worth. God the Creator has given it birth. What would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you give? What would you give? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, if today God should call it away, what would you give in exchange for your soul? If when you stand by the by and by, when you are weighed on the balance on high, you should be sentenced forever to die. What would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you give? What would you give? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, if today God should call it away, what would you give in exchange for your soul?
Let's bow heads. That's a good question. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Now, your soul, it's precious indeed. Remember the very first scripture Brother Howard used when he read Jeremiah 29. We know the scripture well. And the Lord said, if you seek me and you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you. What a precious promise. There's nobody ever sought him with all their heart that never found him. It's diligence. That's all that's required. The prophet says when God speaks to you, it should bring a desperation. That's the basis of desperation. And a desperation is an earnestness. A desperation is something that's inside of you that you can't rest. A desperation is something which you won't be satisfied with anything else but the thing that you're seeking for. It's a wonderful thing for God to give you a desperation. Let's just come to a time of prayer, saints, before we go today. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for them that aren't here. Let's pray for them on holiday. Let's pray for the weekend. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray that God will continue to lead us and guide us and have mercy upon us as his people. Let's all come to a time of prayer.
So thankful for your word.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord, we want to take personally that you spoke to me, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh Lord, like David says, you spoke once, oh Lord. You just remind us, oh Lord, you speak that we will be not taken by the sight, oh Lord, by many things of life, oh Lord. Help us, O Lord. Like that song says, O Lord, we need you, O Lord. We need you, O Lord, that you will lead us. Like that woman, O Lord, she was looking for things they couldn't satisfy her
yes,
life.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
O Lord, you just send us a message, simple message this evening,
yes,
but full of life,
O Lord.
Full of light, O Lord,
O Lord,
that we should seek your face until our experience matches with your word, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, help us. Help us to follow your footsteps, O Lord. Help us, like we sing that song, to be like Jesus. Help us, O Lord, until our experience, until that spirit within us will testify, O Lord, that you are my Lord. that I am really full obedient to you, to your word, O Lord. Help us, like I heard even Brother Mike praying, O Lord. Yes. Help us that we will cry for from all our soul, from all our lives, O Lord. That we will cry, Lord, help us, fill us with your, we just lifting our cup, O Lord. Yes, Lord. You fill it up, O Lord. Yes. We ask you take all drops from our lives, O Lord. Whatever it takes, O Lord, that will take that our direction, our eyes from you, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. We see that really, O Lord, things are taking place, even like in Russia, O Lord. O Lord, we don't know what will happen here. O Lord, sometimes we focus too much. O Lord, maybe colleges, maybe whatever on these earthly things to get maybe houses or whatever, Lord. Maybe it's just devil coming to, O Lord, take our times and strength, O Lord, from things we should focus, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, that we through your word, that we can see, O Lord. We want to apply like was spoken at the end of Book of Revelation. Take that word of God and apply to your eyes that you can see. O Lord, we just want to commit ourselves into your hands even now, O Lord. We lifted our cup that you will fill it up, O Lord. Even when we depart from this place, O Lord, we want to ask you, we want to take your name with us, that you will be with us, O Lord. Be with us on our ways. We see, O Lord, many times what's happened. We are thankful that you've been with us, O Lord. But over all, O Lord, we want to be sure and satisfied with you, O Lord. Help us. We commit these things into your hands, like was preached today, O Lord. You fill our cup, O Lord. You be our Lord. You be all in all, O Lord. We ask you, O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's sing that song as we dismiss. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul.
Like a woman at the well. First verse, sister.
I was seeking.
First verse.
It's there.
For things that cannot satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking. Drove from the well. That shall never run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things afford. But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. So my brother, if the thing this world gave you, leave hungers that won't pass away. My blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to
Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want more. Here's my cup, fill it.